Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
We're going to continue. We've been in our series going through Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and I hope that you've been challenged as much as I have through this time. This letter was written that Paul spent 18 months building up the church at Corinth. It was a very immoral society, and yet he ministered for 18 months. And during this 18-month time, some tremendous things happened. Lives were changed. The Holy Spirit was moving in passionate ways, and the worshipers were growing. Then Paul left, and he got word sometime later, as he was teaching in Ephesus, Paul got word that things weren't going too well. Something happened. And in light of our conversation this morning, I want to kind of share a little story with you. How many of you have ever upgraded your cell phone to realize that your cell phone upgrade maybe wasn't like what you hoped and thought it was? Anybody have that happen? Well, I had a phone a while ago that I absolutely loved. And one of the things that I loved about it was the camera. The camera was fantastic. It was able to do, you know, these snapshots and these all these crazy, crazy features. The coolest thing was I could network it to my TV. And I could play videos from my phone on my TV, and I thought, well, these are going to look silly. And they were so clear. And it was neat, because I'd go to sporting events, and the kids dance things, and I'd play them, and I'd put them on the TV and watch them, and it was so clear. And so the problem was I took so many videos and pictures on the phone that all of a sudden the phone started being real sporadic, and it was slowing down. And I looked, and it had, like, no space left, because I'd filled it all up with these pictures and stuff, and I'm too lazy to, you know, actually download them. So of course, like with everybody, I just get a new phone. And so what I did was I went back, and they had an upgrade. And the upgrade was like the same phone, same processor, same camera, but they added that it was waterproof and you could add an SD card. And I'm like, yeah, because you got 128 gigabyte of memory in there. And I thought, this will be fantastic. This will be perfect. And so the first time I went out, the first kids' sporting event, I'm like, yeah, this is great. And I recorded it, and I got home, and I went to play it. Now, those of you who are a little older in the room, you'll probably remember this. Remember the Bigfoot spottings, the films of Bigfoot? And it was all fuzzy. And it was, yeah, that's how everything was. It was all fuzzy. And I'm like, what? It's the same camera. So I was bound to determine. I took the case off, and I thought, there's got to be some film on it. Well, nope, no film. Okay. And so I'm polishing it up. I'm seeing if there's a smudge. And so I'm going through and trying to get the settings, and I can't get it to work. Every time I'm going to do something, I'm getting it, and I'm getting it focused for a second, and then I start recording it, and I get it home, and I play the video, and for 1 second it's there, and then it just gets all crazy blurry. I'm like, what is going on? And it was so frustrating that it wouldn't go. So I go in to visit my friend Alex, who is so helpful. And Alex decides, hey, moron, he didn't like that. But he's like, there's these settings. You have it set that it's not staying on task, that it's grabbing something and it's focusing. And when it's focused, man, it's clear. But then it's jumping to something else and it's looking at something else. So the target that you're supposed to be looking at is not in the picture. It's all blurry. Isn't it frustrating when you know things should be clear and things should be defined and yet it's not? Isn't that frustrating? You know, the church can be like that. The church can be just like that. We know that it should be clear, and we know that it should be on task, and it should be presenting this clear message of the love of God. And yet somehow it's all blurry, and we don't feel like we connect, and we're not seeing where we fit and where our place is. And it's frustrating. And the reason is we are out of focus. The reason is other things become the target than Christ. It happens in our lives. It's happening in the church in Corinth. And so we're going to move and we're going to look through what had challenge their focus to be like my phone, to not stay locked on the correct target. Well, there's a lot in here in chapters 10 to 13. I mean, there's a lot. We could preach for literally months on different topics of 12 to 13, but there's one particular one that I prayed about and I really felt. In fact, I threw my message away early in the week and I told staff we're going to have kind of a late way to get this because I feel like we need to go a different direction. So I hope that this is for somebody out here today. Let's jump right into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. For just as the body is one and has many members, so all the members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. So he's kind of giving an analogy here of our bodies, that we have different parts of our body, but we're all still one body. He goes on and he says how we became this one body. He says in verse 13, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. So there were these divisions between the Jews and the Greeks. You know, some people can only associate with people who are just like them. And Paul's beginning to challenge that concept. He says, and we're all made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Boy, I wish the church could get this. Church is not about one member. It's not about one member. It's not about me. It's not about, oh, who's got the deepest pockets. It's not about who's the most talented. It's not about who's got the longest tenure. It's not about who's the loudest, the most obnoxious, or the quietest. The church is not about one. It says the body does not consist of one member, only one member, but of many. Verse 15, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. He's kind of breaking this down here. Verse 16, he says, and if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, here's the big part. But as it is, who has arranged the members? God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chooses. So a couple thoughts here today. And I think that they're important. And I think that it's going to be motivating for all of us is my prayer. And the first thought is this. And I've only really got 2 points for you today. Can you believe that? Hallelujah. Only 2 points. Good. And I realize I've had a lot of topics to cover in the past several weeks. And I apologize that we've gone a little bit long. But for today, point number one is this. You have a part in the body of Christ. You have a place in the body of Christ. And for some of you, you need to hear this. You belong. Now, immediately we're going to say, but I don't feel like I belong. I've always been the square peg in a bunch of round holes. I never quite fit. I don't understand. That's why I do my own thing. I stay on the outskirts. I sneak in. I sneak out. I like to get what I want, but I'm not part. I don't feel like I'm part. I want to tell you today, the reason that we don't have that feeling that we are part is our focus is like my phone. It may be at one time locked onto Christ, but immediately it's going to all these other things, which we're going to break down in just a second. And we have looked at in the weeks prior. Because you have received Christ, everyone who's received Christ, we are now part of something greater. And that doesn't mean that we're no longer unique, because everyone is unique. I mean, look around the room. We are all unique. We are all different. You may be unique, but you are still a part. You may be an individual. You may have a different skill set, a different personality. You may be an extrovert. You may be an introvert. Doesn't matter. In Christ, all of that is trumped, and you're part of something greater. The body of Christ. You are part of His body. Everybody say His body. We are now part of that. And that means for a lot of us, we have to let go of a past identity. Now that's great news for those of us who struggled with a poor identity, or maybe we've had something happen, a life event. Maybe someone has betrayed us. Maybe we've had some very difficult issues. And because of that, it has given a definition of us that we see ourselves as something lacking. Well, now because we're part of the body of Christ, we gotta let that go and be part of who He called us to be. Now, for others in the room who maybe think that, well, I'm pretty perfect. I don't have need of very much. I'm successful, I'm good looking, and people like me. All right, Stuart, or whatever that guy's name is. Is it Stuart Smalley? Is that that guy? Yeah. Well, if you're that guy, whatever. Okay, you know, the bottom, you got to let go of those pieces as well, because you're part of something new, something greater. It is something different. You have a part in the body of Christ. Now, here's the big part. So we're like, yeah, I want to be part of the body of Christ. I want to be the head. I want to be the hair. I used to be able to do that and something would go. Sometimes I'm going to do that. I'm going to blow the hair out of my eyes so I can see it. Eli was funny. He was letting his hair grow. And before he cut it, he put a man bun in. And it was kind of funny. Ask him about it. If you see him sometime, ask him about it. It's pretty funny, actually. I said, get out of my house. No, I didn't. Just kidding. So God has arranged those things. And so therefore, there is order. I mean, now, church is not a free-for-all. And this is problematic. And what we see in the church at Corinth is extremely problematic. And we also, this is so amazing how this lines up with how church operates, especially in Western culture in this current day and age. Because we have adopted this, I call it the taster's choice mentality, where we really have an audacity that we walk in and we tell God how he can move and how he can't move and what he can do and what he can't do, and we run it. And we're no different than the church that we read about in the book of Revelation, that Jesus is on the outside knocking at the door trying to get back in. It happens. It happens very quickly. God has arranged the body. And so our part is something that God arranges for us. God has a place for us. And sometimes the place that God has for us isn't the place that we would choose for ourselves. And that's where difficulty comes. Our part is something that God arranges, and that's because that God has callings and he has giftings for us. And it's very beautiful and it's very important. And God's callings and giftings, please hear this, are not necessarily your skill set. A lot of us assume, because I'm good with numbers, that means I'm going to come to the church and be a numbers guy. Maybe. I'm not saying don't. I'm saying it's possible that maybe God's gifting and calling for your life isn't something that you're comfortable with. And before you challenge me, we can go through scripture and we can look at everyone whom God called. God called them to a place of discomfort, a place that was not comfortable for themselves. I know. So God has a calling and he has a gifting for you, but he is in charge and he orders and he arranges them. Here's the problem. Because you have a part in the body, when your focus gets off, it becomes challenging. This becomes a challenge when our focus is off of Christ and we think that we know how to arrange our lives and how to orchestrate our lives. In the Old Testament, how many remember Jonah? Everybody remember Jonah? Wonderful guy. You know, pretty cool guy, and everything that he did here is a trip and fall. Wow. But Jonah, what was unique about him was God was calling him to go to a place he didn't want to go and do a thing that he really didn't want to do. Why? Because he didn't get along with those people. They were different than him. So kind of the message today is for all of you square pegs, of which I bet there's probably more square pegs than round ones here today. Quit it. Quit holding on to this resistance that says, well, this is just how I am and I don't fit. Yeah, you do. Because you realize that God has a place for you. And we have to embrace where God is calling us to go to. Just like Jonah. When Jonah got his eyes off of Christ and got them onto how it fit in his concept of what his life was going to look like, it affected everyone else around him. Remember, Jonah's on that boat. He's running from God. And Jonah's refusal to be part and to be in the place and the calling that God had for him affected those around him. And so it is in the church, because we're part of the body. I remember when I was sitting in a very uncomfortable chair at some meetings early this week on Monday. And I had been in a meeting for about 3 hours doing interviews, and it was a very, very uncomfortable chair. And I stood up, and my leg had fallen asleep. And so I took one step and went, and I was like, they're like, okay. But it was really kind of, it was kind of funny, and we laughed about it. But I was like, come on, would you work with me? Come on. And you're not, and you shake your leg, and you're trying to wake it up. Because that part, for that instant, I was just like the church. Some of our members don't want to do their part. And some of our members fall asleep when I say, I don't mean it like that, but they do. We fall. Wake up. Okay. So the point is, we do. Not just because the preacher's boring. I'm talking not in our service, in our service of how we walk out every single day. This passive mentality that says I attend a church rather than I go to worship. Let's break this down a little farther. You have a part. God created you to have a part. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 21 through 26. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think are less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, again, God did this, giving greater honor to the part that's lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. You see, there's the problem. When we view this hierarchy that the world gives us and bring it into the church, we refuse to care for one another, which we're going to get to at the end of the message today. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. One of my favorite stories is I was going to South School, and I was walking down the hallway at South School, and one of our kids that had come through Children First was in the hallway. And they looked up, and they looked at me, and they said, hey, it's the church boss. I was like, son, come here. We need to have a conversation. If that's what you think. And it was lovely, and it was really funny, and we had a great laugh of it. But it's sad to think that that's actually, you know, from grown-up aspect, I certainly get that that's where a child, you know, views things. But if that's what we view, then I have failed miserably in communicating to you what my duties and responsibilities are and what leadership duties and responsibility. Because I view it more of how Christ said, the greatest among you is going to be the servant of all. In fact, Jesus, who is worthy of the most honor that we could possibly bestow upon anyone, gets his closest followers together in what we're going to demonstrate for you on Thursday night. He says, look, this is what it's about. And he put a towel upon himself, and he took the lowest form, the lowest position, and washed their feet, and it freaked them out. You see, we in the world, we think that, wow, what do we need to have church? Well, we got to have the preacher. We got to have that. And then we got to have the worship team. So there's importance. The preacher's important. The worship team's important. The sound guys are important. I not so much. Today, I'm going to challenge that concept and call anyone who feels that, well, I have an important place, but you don't get it. And I'm not going to be condemning. I want to set you free. I have a little scooter, a Honda Elite T that's a 1985, a year before I graduated from high school. And this little Honda scooter is the most cold-blooded running thing that you've ever seen. And every year I have to rebuild the silly carburetor. Every year. And so the carburetor you don't see. It's hidden behind everything else, but you take it apart, and there's these little bitty springs and these little itty bitty tiny needle that sits in the middle of this other thing that you can't see and you don't know is there. And I'm telling you what, unless it is absolutely, and I mean perfectly, the itty bitty tiniest, minutest turn wrong, here's what it does. You start it up, it goes, that's it. I am. And then I'll fiddle with it and I'll mess it around. I'll go, Me. I don't know to this day what that last is, but I know it's got something to do with that little needle. That little needle that no one ever sees, that's hidden, that's in the middle of everything else, it's behind the scenes, no one gets it. And yet when it's not doing its part, I get... And so, my little needles, my dear little needles, what do I have to do? You're not here just to sit. You're here to be part of the body of Christ. Okay, so Friday morning, I have a funeral to do for a family whom I love dearly. Last Friday, got together. To be honest, I wasn't having a great week. And I stroll in, putting my game face on, getting myself ready. And I'm walking to the funeral home, and one of our church members walks up. Hey, how are you doing, Pastor? Hey, good to see you. Can I pray for you? And just pray for me. And I tell you what, at that moment, I got what I needed. You know, we have gotten far too structured or far too something when we refuse to be the body of Christ. I'm not the only human beings that held. No, we are all supposed to spiritually, everybody say spiritually. Spiritually relate to one another. Now, that can take on the form of a natural service, such as, you know, when someone's going through a hard time, I'm going to cook a meal for them, or I'm going to do something natural. But the motivation is a spiritual motivation, and we need to be more spiritually minded towards one another and use our spiritual giftings that, by the way, may not just be our natural giftings. And our connection to one another. If we don't, we're like that little needle that is out of position, out of place. And you think, well, where are some ways that we can do it? Good heavens. We have huge impact on the homebound and those in nursing homes by going to visit them, by taking them communion, by giving them the love of Jesus Christ. We have mission opportunities. We have teaching opportunities. We got opportunities all over the place. So here's my second point. So point number one was you are part of the body of Christ. Point number two, and that's the last point I have for you today, is your part in the body is important. It's critical. It is important. In Corinth and in our church today, there's a dangerous immaturity that says only certain ministries are important. They have more value than others. I want you to know that all, everybody say all. All parts of the body are important. And Paul kind of gives us this weird imagery. Imagine a big pile of eyes. Is that the church? Imagine just a big pile of smelly old feet. Yeah? Someone in first service said, thank you that you didn't call us all heels. Imagine just a big bucket of this, and we think, well, that's not what we are. Are we sure about that? Or have we literally become that homogenized, that of the same, cut from the same piece? No. If that's what it is, I want to challenge that today. And there are two concepts that you have to call out, that Paul actually addresses. And he did it here. He said the first is this concept that my position is not as important as others. Again, going back to our analogy with this needle in the carburetor. The smaller parts are important. The smaller parts are critically. And when I say smaller, I don't mean smaller in God's eyes. Not everyone is called to stand in front of people and do that. That does not make them any more or any less important. And so when we view our position, well, you know what, I go to church, but what I do doesn't matter. Oh yeah, it does. I can preach a really good message, hopefully one of these days, and then someone can go, and their children can go have one of the workers be rude to them and not share the love of Christ, or maybe go and the bathroom is just destroyed and a mess and nasty and everything else around, and everyone in the church is cold and callous. Guess what? Are you going to be part? Is that going to be bringing non-believers in? No, not at all. The whole body has a calling, and that calling is from God, and that calling is important. And so if we say that my part is not as important as theirs, the problem is we're seeing it, the church looks like that fuzzy old Bigfoot picture. Because your focus isn't on Christ, your focus is on what everyone else is doing. And then you're flowing in envy and in jealousy. Well, they didn't put me on that committee. Well, they never choose me to do this. Well, they never choose me. Look, God's the one who orchestrates things. If you view what you do with that level of this doesn't matter, you're going to do it like it doesn't matter. And guess what? It's going to be performed like that. God wants to use each one of us. Amen? The second part is equally as critical, which is to say, hey, I'm the I. I'm most important. What I say really matters. I'm in this position that's really important. And if I view that my part is most important, then my focus is on myself, not on Christ, and I'm guilty of pride and arrogance. And so, brothers and sisters, as we think about that, I just want to leave you with this thought. Are you doing the part that God has for you? Now, it's a fair question. And if you say, I don't know what God's part for me is, I don't know what my part in the body is, that is fair. But just ignoring that gorilla in the room doesn't change it. Actively, we need to begin to move and we need to begin to pursue and become that part. And Paul then goes in and tells you, so if you know that you have a part, or some people say this, I had a part, but my part was long ago. And so I'm just taking up room. No, if you have breath, if you woke up this morning and you have breath, which I'm trusting everybody in here did, you still have purpose and you still have calling. You still have spiritual giftings that God wants to impart and grow in your lives to use for the kingdom. If you are, which is legitimate, I'm a square peg in a round hole, I don't know how I fit, you begin to focus on being a part of the body and God will order your steps and that will come to pass. And here's how it happens and here's how we're going to conclude the service today. And now for this next couple minutes, I'm going to tell you all, take a deep breath. Come on. Close your eyes, don't sleep, and listen to how Paul tells us. And I believe that this is how we find it. Paul says, and these words are to you, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith that I can remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I have and I deliver my body up to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Because love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And then here's what Paul's advice is to us. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For the one who speaks in tongues speaks to men, not to God, but no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. You can open your eyes now. Church, here's your homework. Love. Look to be God's expressed love this week, this season. Look for ways to be patient, kind, to bear all. Look and spend time this week. And my challenge is this. Desire spiritual gifts, but especially prophecy. My challenge to every person in this room is, before we come back together again, is you look for ways to prophesy, to encourage, to build up, to edify to your brothers and sisters. Look for ways that you can verbally encourage them, speak to them, and build them up.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.